Our lectionary this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 50,000 men, besides women and children.
Jane, thanks. Jane does what I do sometimes. I am known to exaggerate just a little bit. but if it was 5,000. But 50,000 makes a better story. And those of you who are of a certain age, like me, when Jane was reading the scripture, if you close your eyes, you can see Lauren Bacall. If you're too young to have any idea of what I'm saying, see me after worship. This is the lectionary gospel for this day, and when at all possible, I try to stick to the lectionary. And it's one of the most familiar passages in the New Testament. You know, in Scripture, there are all different kinds of narratives. There are historical narratives which seek to say what happened and when and by whom. There are dialogue narratives. If you have a red letter Bible, go to the New Testament, and all of that in red is Jesus dialoguing with someone else. There are parables. Those are the stories that are told, not necessarily historical, but they are told to teach a lesson, like the prodigal son. And then there are miracle stories. The blind see, the lame walk, the hungry are fed, and the most amazing of all, the Son of Man is raised from the dead on that first Easter morning. This falls into that category, doesn't it? Fish and chips for 5,000. Question. How is it that two people can view the same event and one says miracle and the other says coincidence? Have you ever had that happen? That's just a coincidence. The difference is one person sees that event through the eyes of faith and one doesn't. It's just that simple. It's that simple. Let's look at this morning's passage, if we can, through the eyes of faith to see what we can learn. The first part of that passage says, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew to be by himself. What was the "this" that is referred to? Does anyone except Sarah know? Are you? Oh, I've Thought I might have you stumped that time. Yes, it was the death of John the Baptist. And Jesus, what was his relationship to John the Baptist? Yes, he was his cousin, but he was baptized by John. John was the foreteller of the Messiah. Jesus had a familial kinship with him. And he also had a love of John because of his own ministry, John's ministry in the wilderness. A lot of what Jesus said later would refer back to the things he had seen and heard from John. Why did he go off by himself? It's that simple. I mean, it's not a trick question. To pray. He went off by himself to pray. In the New Testament, we read more of the prayer life of Jesus than any other thing in his life. For me, and I've told you this, the prayer is of such a personal nature that it is hard for me to pray out loud on Sunday morning. I know I need to. I know that's part of my calling, but it's hard. So, and you can hear that sometimes. That's because for me, prayer is not words said. It's a complete attitude of stillness and waiting and openness. Jesus went off by himself to pray. But the crowds followed him. In almost every passage where it shows Jesus going off to be by himself, the next sentence is, but the crowds followed him. Why did the crowds follow him? Okay, silly question. What were they seeking? They were seeking everything, weren't they? They were seeking physical comfort. They were seeking the answer to the questions of life. They were seeking meaning. They had been told that a Messiah was to come. They were under such hardship from the Romans. And we might say it was because he healed them and he fed them. He told them what they needed to hear. But I think even more than that, the crowds came around and followed Jesus because it was so obvious that he loved them. They had never seen that kind of love before. Why did Jesus come into the world? We answer that every Sunday morning almost. For God so loved. Well, the disciples, they came in, they were worried. They knew what their larder held, and it wasn't much. And the disciples told him to send the crowds away. In fact, they did it in directive language. It was not asking him. It was telling him to send them away. Send them away so they can go get a Big Mac. We don't have enough fish and chips. That's a modern translation. It was not their responsibility to feed all those people, was it? It really wasn't. And they told him that in no uncertain terms. How many times must Jesus have rolled his eyes during those 3 years? Almost every time there is a situation, a relationship between Jesus, his disciples, and the crowd, and something going wrong, they get it wrong, don't they? They never learn. Well, he told them to feed them. He told them to feed them. We can't. We don't have enough, they said. We just can't. I read a study recently, and I have talked with a few of you about it in these terms. And it was a study, it was recently on eChurch, Bill, by the way. It was on the computer. About the difference between stagnant churches and vital churches. Okay? And not surprisingly, the main difference wasn't location, it wasn't money, it was not the church history, but it was attitude. It was attitude. The author of the study said, in a stagnant church, the default position is no. Yeah, when I told a couple of you that recently, I kind of took that as my own idea. It wasn't. In a stagnant church, the default position is no. In a vital church, the default position is yes. And you know what that means? It means that the vital church is going to fail far more often than the stagnant church. Doesn't that sound like fun? Uh-oh. But failure is more common in a vital church. And why do you think that is? Because they try so much, many more things. You know, I want to thank y'all. When I brought the idea to this group about let's start a store, let's start a fair trade market, y'all said, wow, I have no idea what that is, but let's give it a try. And we did, and we are about 7 months into it, and it's going. It is self-sufficient. It will be a plus sign on the budget, but that's sort of beside the point. The point is, it's a ministry that is doing good for others, and by the way, for ourselves. In our passage, that was the difference between Jesus and his disciples, wasn't it? They may have been recalcitrant, but they obeyed Jesus anyway. He prayed over the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and what happened? I don't know. But everybody ate. Everybody there ate. There are some commentators who have said that the real miracle was that everyone shared what they had brought with each other when they never would have before because of the example of Jesus. Okay, I don't know. I like the other one better. That says that miraculously what they had was enough. Remember, a miracle is an event seen through the eyes of faith. Beware of those who promise to bring you a miracle of wealth or healing or any good fortune. Usually that goes with a donation to their particular televangelical cause. To their worldwide miracle ministry. I kind of like the sound of that one. I have found that the miraculous usually sneaks up on us. That it is a serendipity to be celebrated, not a trick to be performed. I have found that if I really pay attention and see, really see, the miraculous is all around. I have found that the real miracle is the miracle of unconditional love. Love transforms everything, for God so loved. Amen.